Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about the life of Jesus. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 6, around verse number 14. We were talking about how Jesus encountered resistance when he returned to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and that the unbelief that was present there prevented him from performing any miracles. We also saw his disciples entrusted with the power to heal those who were sick, and to also cast out demons as they preached a message of repentance among the Jewish people. One of the threads that we notice in the gospel accounts is this common theme of repent. It's the message that John the Baptizer begins with, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the message that Jesus carries on, repent for the kingdom at hand. And here the apostles are preaching the same message, repent, repent, repent. And it's good to remind ourselves what it means to repent. To repent means that I look at my life, I see the sin in my life, and I decide that I no longer want to live that way, that I'm going to turn my life around and I'm going to live a different way. That's what it means to repent. And then if I actually change my way and live a different way, by the things that I say and the things that I do, those are the fruits of repentance. So repentance is something that happens in our mind and our heart. We're sorry for our sin. That sorrow compels us to make a decision. I'm not going to live that way anymore. And with that decision comes action, the fruits of repentance. And this is what John the Baptizer, Jesus and his apostles were all calling the people of Israel to do. Repent, repent. Now, as we left off on last week's program, we met King Herod, who heard of Jesus and thought that maybe Jesus was John the Baptizer. Now, the reason why Herod believes this is Herod's got a guilty conscience. Herod had had John the Baptizer beheaded. Mark goes on to tell us why Herod had this done. Herod had laid hold of John. He had bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias. Herodias was a woman who was married to Herod's brother Philip. Herod had taken her for himself. He had taken his brother's wife and had married her. John the Baptizer, a prophet, told Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So he had condemned Herod for this decision. So Herod had John arrested and had him thrown into prison because of it. Now Herodias was deeply offended by John, and she wanted revenge. But she could not get her revenge because even though King Herod had John thrown into prison, King Herod was afraid of John. He knew that John was a just and holy man. I believe that he recognized that John was most likely a prophet, at least the people esteemed him to be a prophet, and so he protected John from Herodias. Mark tells us that Herod would bring John in and hear him. John would do many things, and apparently Herod liked to listen to him. So aside from this one little incident where John tells Herod, you can't have your brother's wife, apparently Herod had a respect for John. And then one day, the daughter of Herodias, this would be Herod's stepdaughter slash niece, came to a feast with Herod and some of his officials. And she danced. She danced before them and danced in such a way that Herod and his officials were greatly delighted by her. Now, it's not stated in Scripture, but it seems to be implied that this was a very sensual dance. So here is his stepdaughter, his niece, dancing a very sensual dance, and Herod is quite delighted by this, so much so that he is willing to give his stepdaughter slash niece anything she wants, up to half of his kingdom. Now, the daughter of Herodias doesn't know what to do, so she goes to her mother and she says, "King Herod has offered this to me. What should I ask?" And her mother, seeking revenge, says, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." So this young lady comes back with haste to the king and she says, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Now Herod had been protecting this man, but in his foolishness, he offered her anything up to half the kingdom. So to save face in front of his officials, in front of the great men of the kingdom, he didn't refuse her. He had John executed, and his head was brought to the young woman and her mother on a platter. This is such a sick story on a number of levels. You know, I look at a story like this, and this just sounds to me like a bad episode of Jerry Springer. If you ever watched that show, you know what I mean. And if you haven't watched it, I'm not recommending it at all. But the sick things that are happening here, it gives us just an insight into the depravity of the time, and especially the depravity among the rulers of the land. Here's a man who has taken his brother's wife, married her, and his stepdaughter dances a sensual dance in front of him. This is just utter debauchery. And in the end, a good man. Jesus says that John the Baptizer is one of the greatest men to have ever lived. In the end, a great man loses his life. So King Herod is by no means an admirable man in any way whatsoever. The disciples of John hear of his death, so they come and they get his body and they lay it in a tomb. At this time, the apostles of Jesus come back to the Lord. They've been out preaching, they've been out healing, they come back excited, stirred up, blood pumping. They've seen all these incredible things. They've performed these incredible miracles. They've been preaching repentance. And they report to Jesus all the things that they have done. Jesus has received word that John the Baptizer has been put to death, and he invites his disciples to come with him. "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." You know, Jesus saw the value in taking time to rest. He and his disciples were at the beck and call of multitudes of people at any given time. So Jesus sees the need to take some time away and to rest and recharge their batteries. So they depart to a deserted place in a boat by themselves, but again, the multitudes see them departing and the multitudes follow them. In fact, they end up arriving at Jesus' destination before he does. Jesus sees them, and he's just moved with compassion. Again, we see the compassion of our Lord at work. And he's compassionate because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. One of the great failings of the day was the Jewish leadership. They weren't much of a leadership really at all. These people are hungering and thirsting for the word of God. These people are looking for hope. They're looking for healing, and Jesus has compassion on them. So he teaches them many things, and he teaches far into the day. Supper time comes, and his disciples say to Jesus, "You know, it's late in the day. we need to send these people away so they can go to the villages and buy bread. They've got nothing to eat. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, well, you give them something to eat. The disciples, though, they're thinking in carnal terms. They're thinking, well, you know, how much money do we have in the money bag? And, you know, let's look at the number of people. And, Master, it would take 200 denarii to feed all these people. In fact, more than 200 denarii. So he asks them, well, how much food do you have? And they find a little boy who's got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. So Jesus commands the whole multitude to sit down on the grass. He divides them up into hundreds and fifties. He blesses the food, gives thanks for it. And he tells his disciples to divide it among the multitude. And with those 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, the disciples are able to feed a group of over 5,000 people. Mark tells us that there were 5,000 men. That apparently did not count the women and the children. There was enough food left over that the apostles were able to take up 12 baskets of food. As I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, these miracles contain within them some spiritual lessons. And this particular miracle teaches us that Jesus will satisfy those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus has enough food to satisfy the hungry, and I'm talking about spiritual hunger here, not physical hunger. He's got enough food to satisfy man's every spiritual craving with a whole lot left over. In the book of John, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Or, I have come to offer a superabundance of life. And that's what we see happening with this particular miracle, that Jesus has food that can satisfy and sustain us for all eternity. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness this morning, let me assure you that in Jesus Christ, you can find everything that your soul requires. If you've been searching, if you've been seeking, then know that this man, Jesus Christ, he was able to satisfy the appetites of 5,000 or more people. But he's been able to satisfy the spiritual appetites of millions upon millions more. Don't you want to make him your master? Come to him if you are hungry, if you are searching, if you are seeking, and he will give you the spiritual nourishment that will satisfy you for an eternity.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that faith in Jesus Christ saves our souls. God has always valued faith above all other things. From Noah to Abraham to Rahab to David, we see examples of God favoring people who believe in Him. This is why God chose to save those who believe in His Son Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ but you're not sure what to do next, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.